Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." In my library downstairs, there are many books on prayer, and if you type in the word prayer into any search engine, you will find oodles of articles and people wanting to sell you many books on the subject of prayer. Prayer is important. Prayer is part of our life in following Jesus. Yet we find prayer difficult. Sometimes the quickest way to stop a conversation at a gathering is to ask the question, "Who will pray for us?" Well, that's been in my experience. So let me ask you this question. How is your prayer life? One of my spiritual directors used to ask me this question every time I saw them, as they said, if I was engaged in prayer, then I was engaged with whatever life threw at me. How is your prayer life? Because the disciples did not need Jesus to teach them how to actually say a prayer. As observant Jews, they would have known how to do that. Rather, they asked Jesus to give them a special prayer, a unique prayer that they could use. A common practice of rabbis at that time was to give their disciples a prayer. And Jesus gave them and gave us what we call the Lord's Prayer, a version of which we pray at every service here. These words serve as a model of prayer. And notice that Jesus says to his disciples, when you pray, not if you pray, but when you pray. Prayer must be a part of our daily life. Jesus does not prescribe when we are to pray or how many times a day we are to pray, but he does expect us to pray. There are no magic words that we have to use when we pray. And this is reinforced in a story that the Jesuit Anthony de Mello wrote. There was a bishop's ship that stopped on a remote island for a day, and the bishop was determined to use the time as profitably as possible. He strolled along the seashore and came across three fishermen mending their nets. In broken English, they explained to him that centuries before they had been Christianized by missionaries. The bishop was impressed. Did they know the Lord's Prayer? They'd never heard of it. The bishop was shocked. What do you say then when you pray? We lift our eyes in heaven. We pray. We are three, you are three, have mercy on us. The bishop was appalled at the primitive and downright heretical nature of their prayer, so he spent the whole day teaching them the Lord's Prayer. The fishermen were poor learners, but they gave all that they had. And before the bishop sailed away next day, he had the satisfaction of hearing them go through the whole formula without a fault. Many months later, the bishop's ship happened to be passing by those islands again, and the bishop, as he paced the deck saying his evening prayers, recalled with pleasure the three men on that distant island who were now able to pray thanks to his patient efforts. As he was lost in thought, he happened to look up and noticed a spot of light in the east. The light kept on approaching the ship. And as the bishop gazed in wonder, he saw three figures walking on the water. The captain stopped the boat, and everyone leaned over the rails to see this sight. Then, when they were within speaking distance, the bishop recognized his three friends, the fishermen. "Bishop," they exclaimed, "we heard your boat go past this our island and come to you because we want to speak to you." "What is it you want?" asked the awe-stricken bishop. "Bishop," they said, "we are so sorry. We forgot the words of your lovely prayer. We say, 'Our Father in heaven, holy be your name, your kingdom come.' Then we forget. P- please tell us how to pray again. The bishop felt humbled. Go back to your homes, my friends, and each time you pray, say, we are three, you are three, have mercy on us. There are no magic words when it comes to prayer, because prayer is about relationship. Just think about the conversations you will have after our worship together. In your conversations, you may be following patterns and conventions that you've carried out through the rest of most of your life. But there are no magic words that will deepen the relationship that you have with whom you are speaking. No words like a spell. So it is with prayer. We pray to deepen our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Of course, we may not have a good relationship with our earthly father, but Jesus is inviting us to pray, to have a relationship with God the Father. One of Jesus' disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples, which Jesus did and more. Jesus gave the disciples and us the words of the Lord's Prayer. Then this parable and an explanation of the parable. In this parable, we heard about the importunate friend asking for bread from his friend who was asleep. That word importunate, other translations say the friend was persistent, but that does not really convey the deeper meaning of the underlying Greek. Markley translates anadeia as shameless persistence. But what does that mean to us about prayer? Does this mean that we need to keep badgering God to get what we want? And what about so-called unanswered prayers? As Jesus did say, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and a door will be opened for you. But Jesus is not saying that our prayers will be automatically approved, say rubber stamped, just because we have been repetitive. So our prayer is not a test of God. It's not a bargaining chip. Of course, in our prayers, in our time of prayer, we place our concerns, our hopes, and our dreams in the hand of God, a God who created us, and we listen for a response. Prayer is not a financial transaction. It is a relationship. And yet there do seem to be prayers that are unanswered. And Father Michael Marshall, an Episcopal priest in West Texas, wrote, and I agree with his words, I don't know why some prayers seem to be unanswered and some seem to be answered. I don't have any good answers or explanations, but I have heard really bad ones. I'm sure you may have heard these. You didn't pray hard enough. You didn't have enough faith. You were asking for the wrong thing. It's all a mystery, and someday we'll understand. Everything happens for a reason. These explanations and answers diminish God. Father Michael continues, but when I hear those kinds of answers and explanations, I can't help but remember another man praying on a Thursday night. He prayed with words, sweat, and blood. His prayers ended with, Thy will be done. They crucified him the following afternoon. When we pray the words of the Lord's Prayer, we pray as Jesus did, Thy will be done. When we pray, Thy will be done, we place our trust in God, who through Jesus has experienced suffering and has conquered death. He is our comforter and our redeemer. And by his suffering, Jesus Christ placed himself in God's hand. Jesus is our example of our life and of our prayer life. How is your prayer life? Søren Kierkegaard wrote, "Prayer does not change God, but changes him who prays." Prayer changes us. It does not change God. As we pray the words of the Lord's Prayer, we are reminded that we are reliant on God, who wants a relationship with us. When we pray, "Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come," we deepen our relationship with God. When we pray, "Give us each day our daily bread," we acknowledge our dependence on God in our daily needs. We are saying that we need God's nourishment. When we pray, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who are indebted to us," we say that we wish to deepen our relationship with those around us as we seek forgiveness. And what about the response to our prayer? Jesus, at the end of our gospel passage, said that the response to our prayer will be God. As Jesus said, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" How is your prayer life? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.